Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the fifth day of February, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is a strong delusion. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumayn, welcome to the program. Cumri Ambeth. Callers will be welcome, but we do ask, of course, that you monitor your language and that you be careful not to walk on anybody else that might be on the calls. Basically meaning if somebody's already got the floor and making a statement, then please hold off on your response until they're done. We are in a question-answer mode, and the website is www.pastordan.net, and again, that's .net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Psalm 33, verse 4 and 5, for Yahweh's word is right, or correct. All his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of our Father Yahweh. Again, Psalm 33. Part of the reason for the topic tonight is because of all the kabuki theater that's being played out in front of us. So it is a very strong delusion. It's ironic. I just gave out a shout out to Coach Dave Dabamir and to Pastor Chuck Baldwin for their ministries in their bravery in denouncing the apostasy of the mainstream churches, and especially for Pastor Baldwin and Rick Wiles of True News for talking about the root of the tree of evil in this country, which is, of course, the Talmudic Jew. And then they turn around in the very next segments the following day when I'm watching them make some of the stupidest comments I've ever heard in my life. I don't understand. Is it difficult to be consistent? Out of one mouth I heard race doesn't matter. With the coming of Messiah, race doesn't matter. Let's see. It mattered before his coming, and it says that Yahweh changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it mattered before Christ came. You see, they've created two gods. That's part of the grand delusion and why we're under such a strong delusion, because we don't honor the truth. We don't even demand the truth anymore. But that's because at a personal level, we're willing to sacrifice truth almost all the time. Why? Because the truth hurts. For instance, Dabamir doesn't want to talk about the fact that race matters because his brother's married to a Chinese woman. And perhaps Chuck Baldwin's got race mixing in his family. And so all of a sudden, race mixing's okay because, you know, a lot of people are mixed blood today. So we've got this mixed multitude the scripture talks of. Confusion of face is another biblical way of talking about it. Because you see all these people walking the street, and back when I was a boy, you could take a gander at somebody and pretty much tell what race they belong to instantly. Today, you're not quite sure because everybody's some conglomeration of various, at least two, sometimes three and four different races. And I went to my neighbor's house, and he had on the State of the Union, which I could not stomach, even the few minutes that I listened to it. And I was there talking to him, and in the background is Trump announcing the boy who is the great-great-grandson of this Tuskegee officer, which of course is black, even though you can tell he's got a whole lot of white in him, because I was wondering, because he said he was a pilot. I haven't met very many black guys that would make good pilots. I mean, I'm just being honest. So how did this guy get to be a pilot? Well, it's because he's like 60 or 70% white. So the white in him, he was able to be a pilot. If he was pure black, forget it. Okay, forget it. So what's Trump do? He trumps out this mulatto kid who wants to be part of the Space Force, which is another kabuki theater facade. There is no such thing as a Space Force. We've never been on the other side of the firmament. That's just the facts. And we're not going to get on the other side of the firmament, not until the time of Yahweh taking away the firmament. And that's not going to happen anytime soon. So, in fact, NASA is a complete joke, okay? Never a straight answer, and the CIA and other government agencies refer to it as not a space agency. It's a joke. Just like POTUS is referred to by military and high-ranking officials as the Oz, as in the movie Wizard of Oz. In other words, he's that big head up there blowing fire and screaming out loud and thunderous edicts from Washington, the center of the swamp, over here anyway. The Vatican and London are the part of the swamp over yonder. So, like in The Wizard of Oz, you got the Zionists pulling the levers behind the curtain and making the talking head, in this case, Trump, sit there and breathe out fire and claim all these things like the Second Amendment is going to be safe as long as I'm president. Really? Maybe you'd better take a look around and see the fact that the Second Amendment's under assault like never before, and where the hell are you? So, kabuki theater. It's just more kabuki theater. So, but here again, the part of the problem is the fact that we don't demand truth. And like I said, here's these three guys who have substantial audiences who proclaim Christ, Jesus. I love that. Jesus is the name. You know, everybody fires Jesus, but they don't fear Yeshua. They don't fear Yahweh. Excuse me? Most of them know that his name wasn't Jesus, by the way. If you were to take a time capsule and go back 2,000 years, and if you walked into the streets of Galilee and said, "Hey, Jesus," he would have kept right on walking, because there was no such thing as a Jesus. There's no such thing as a J sound in antiquity, so wake the hell up and admit it. Why is everybody walking around these issues? Race has always mattered. Stop. Well, I don't want to offend my family. You know, I got a sister and she's a queer. I got a brother and he's, you know, he's married to a black girl. And, oh, they got these mixed children, Dan. I can't say nothing about that. Well, that puts you in the camp of the lukewarm. And we've talked about that recently. What does Yeshua say he's going to do with the lukewarm? It's not a very pretty picture. He's going to vomit you out. Much like I, as a mortal man, want to vomit you out. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of these pontificating assholes claiming to be men of God, and all they want to do is placate every single person that they contact with. They get there and they stomp up and down about how ineffective the church is, but then they sit there and they're lukewarm about talking about his law. Make up your minds, people. How do you think you're going to effectively fight Satan's kids when you don't have enough balls to stand there and tell the truth about the law just because you got friends and relatives who are violating the law? It's called tough love. Maybe you've never heard of it before. Tough love. Meaning you're going to tell the truth even when it hurts. even if it means that you may alienate some of your family. I lost contact with a lot of my family over the years. They thought I was a complete lunatic. They've called me recently to apologize for the decades where they made fun of me, because so many things have now come to pass. But isn't that the way, as Ravenhill in his excellent little treatise on the picture of a prophet, like it says in there, he is scorned while he lives and he's honored when he's dead and gone. That's the lot in life for those that want to preach the truth. Scorned while you live and honored once you die. Because then everybody sees that you had told them the truth when it's too late. Yahweh has a word for that, and he said that it's basically, you will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. I passed out bread in the bread line, and you know, I saved souls. I didn't do anything to save little babies. I didn't do anything to save the world from going to hell. I didn't do anything to save our right to protect ourselves. But we save souls from what? What the hell did you save them from? They're still murdering the children. They're still teaching your children Satanism, degeneracy, and communism in your public school system and your universities. So just what the hell did you people save them from? I would really like to know. What is this whole thing about saving souls in the mainstream churches? I was reading a thing about Nietzsche, and Nietzsche was very anti-Christian. That's why the pious churchgoers don't ever want to quote Nietzsche. But Nietzsche actually had a lot of good things to say, and when I tell people about his writings, I say, you have to understand something. There's a difference between mainstream churchianity and what we teach, which is identity theology. There's a huge difference here. I find mainstream churchianity repulsive myself. I can only understand how a thinking person would not want to darken the doorstep on a church. Why would you go into a church today? Unless, of course, you just want to feel good and shake a bunch of hands and have a ham sandwich at lunch and some potato salad and go home just as ignorant as when you came in. Now, if you want that and be entertained, of course, the preacher will smile and give you a nice, syrupy, sweet sermon. And he'll talk about inconsequential garbage that has nothing to do with reality. If you want that. And, of course, there'll be a band and some rock music played there. And then they'll invite a female, probably lesbian, to come in and talk to you, or a male queer. Or maybe today they'll probably even have a tranny. Probably a tranny come in who's a mixed breed. So it'll be a mulatto tranny. How much better could it be? Yeah, that's who they'll invite to speak to you about God's word. You know, a good case in point, my buddy showed me a little clip, and it was about the Democratic caucus. And this middle-aged woman out in Iowa at the caucus, she had a Pete Buttigieg sticker on. So she was going to put her vote in for the little faggot from Indiana. And all of a sudden she walked up to this young blonde, you know, she was probably about 30, maybe 28, 30 years old, and said, well, wait a minute, I just heard that Pete's a homosexual. And the woman that was the worker there, even though she was supposed to be impartial, but she had a Pete sticker, Pete Buttigieg sticker on her chest. So this middle-aged woman said, well, wait a minute, he's homosexual? And she said, well, it's kind of common knowledge. Yeah, he's married to a guy. You know, his husband is a guy. She goes, well, I don't want that. So I'm thinking to myself, first of all, this is the perfect example of why the founding fathers said you can't cast a ballot unless you meet qualifications. Okay? Somebody give me a thumbs up if the audio is okay, because Bubba here says he can't hear, but other people told me that the sound is okay. So anyway, the founding fathers did not want people like the woman, either of these two women, to be part of governing this nation. Okay, first of all, the young woman doesn't understand homosexuality is wrong, and you sure as hell don't want a homosexual in government, because the founding fathers had qualifications, and being queer was not one of them. Being transgender was not one of them. Being race mixed was not one of them. Only white men, pure white men who owned property, so they had skin in the game and proved that they were trustworthy and able to conduct themselves properly. In other words, they had to prove it. And by owning property, it showed that you had some wealth and that you invested it wisely, et cetera, et cetera. And it gave you an incentive to be careful about who you allowed in government and the decisions that you made, because it was going to impact you. So they had qualifications. And, of course, they had to be a free man. They could not have indentured themselves to somebody and as a indentured servant, whatever. They had to be a free man. And, naturally, they had to be a believer in the Scriptures. Everything in this nation of ours was based upon biblical law. William Blackstone reasserted that. Jackson, Jefferson, Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Samuel Adams, all of them, okay? All of them. Now, their spiritual walks were different, some better than others, but isn't that true of all of us, okay? It doesn't change the fact. So here you have a perfect example with these women having this little debate about the little faggot from Indiana that wants to be president, okay? And the one who just cast the ballot that she supported him being that didn't even know he was a homosexual. Now, what does that say about her ability to correctly judge things? Okay? She gets all the way to the caucus, and with as much stuff that's been out there about this guy, she did not even know he was queer. What's that tell you? What do you think the odds are of her having any understanding over constitutional issues, the Bill of Rights, world events, foreign policy, the Jewish question? What would be the odds of her having any clue about those things? Close to zero. Okay, now the little blondie was beseeching her not to change her ballot because, well, you know, God doesn't judge, and it shouldn't make a difference as long as you agree with his policies. This guy thinks it's okay to sleep with another man and that homosexuality is okay, but that shouldn't affect my decision on allowing him to be sitting in a position of power. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then she has her son standing there. He looks to be about 8, 9 years old, and taps him on the shoulder. And I'm trying to teach my son to just love everybody and not be so condemning. And I almost vomited. I'm so sick of this. I'm desperately seeking men. I'm talking about real men, too. I'm not talking about fake men. I'm not talking about social justice warriors, snowflakes, cuck boys, hair up in a bun types, kissing everybody's ass to get along with everybody. I'm talking about real men. I'm desperate for that. Where the hell are the real men? Where are the warriors at? Are they all dead? Did the Jews actually succeed in eradicating the warriors amongst our race? Did they succeed? That was their stated goal in the Protocols of Zion. Okay, his stated goal was to diminish aggressiveness in the white man and as much as they could to eliminate white men. And I'm talking about real men, not cucks, not queers, not transgender, not the screwed up men. I'm talking about real men. And I'm thinking maybe the program worked better than I thought. I read the book War and the Breed, which was written by a military guy back in 1915. It's part of the War College series. All officers were required to read this. And the premise of the book, War and the Breed and the Effect of War on a Nation, meaning a race, okay? Back in 1915, they understood nation and race are synonymous. That means they mean the same thing, okay? A race and a nation are the same thing. Don't give me this bullshit about modern interpretations and the way that the Jews and everybody else play with the meanings of words to play with your head. If you do the search for the etymological roots of the word, it means race. In the book, it talks about the fact that war is devastating to a nation or race of people because it takes the very best of our men and leaves them crippled on the battlefield or dead. They're either mentally or physically, and sometimes both, crippled because of the horrors of war or outright dead. Look how many we've lost in the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812. The French and Indian War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, the First World War, the Second World War, the Middle Eastern conflicts, Afghanistan, and on and on and on and on. Endless wars. The whole time they're telling us about stopping war. And come to think of it, wasn't that one of the promises of our current occupant, the current communist? In the White House, the Trojan horse, I thought it was going to pull our boys home. Oh, everybody yelled, cheered, but everybody has amnesia all of a sudden. You've got the Trump cult syndrome going on. Don't tell me about the cult, the Trump derangement. That's all kabuki theater. That's the left. That's the Jews that control the left sitting there laughing their asses off as they drive the herd of white men into the Trump camp. They're laughing their asses off at our people. They're just like cattle, goyim, just like cattle. You can herd them just like we used to do when I was a boy on the farm. We can herd them in there, just make a loud noise, shoot off a gun, crack your whip, whatever. You get them going in that direction and the rest all follow, just like a herd of cattle. You put the crazy lunatic Bolsheviks of the Democratic Party out there and everybody is so afraid that they'll get in power, even though it's the same people in power at the top. They all go to lunch together, you know that, right? They're laughing their asses at us because we're buying this absolute nonsense. So the lunatic left is the tool to drive the Trump cult syndromites to where Trump could literally kill somebody. He actually said that during his campaign. I could shoot somebody on a main street and still get elected. Because the Trump cult syndrome has already taken effect. Our people are so desperate for a savior, but they don't want to look to Yahshua. They don't want to look to the King of Kings. No, they want a manly king, just like our ancestors in Scripture, clear back when Saul was made the first king. Give us a king. We don't want you, Father Yahweh. We don't want our Creator to lead us because we can't bribe you. We can't deceive you. We can't entice you. We can't blackmail you to give us favors because you'll be honest and just. So give us a man, like all the other nations. Give us a man. Our people haven't changed a damn bit. Give us Trump. Everybody knows the left is outright in-your-face communist Bolsheviks. So give us that man savior so I can stay here and sit on my ass and continue to play my computer games and drink my beer and eat my chips and pizza. I don't want to actually have to go to the battlefield. I don't want to actually have to study the issues. I don't want to actually have to confront outright Bolsheviks and predators that are attacking our women and children. No, I don't want to actually have to kill somebody in defense of my family. I would rather sit here and believe a liar and a Trojan horse is my savior rather than have to do that. And that's exactly what the Trump cult syndrome is. Because our father told us to judge people by their fruits. And if you look at the fruits of Trump, it's not there. The campaign promises have not been fulfilled. That U.S., Mexico, and Canada agreement, USMCA, is not for our benefit. It's like Rush Limbaugh, the other gatekeeper, when he said that NAFTA and GATT were going to be good for the U.S. economy. Were they good for us? Hell no, they weren't good for us. I don't wish anybody ill, but Rush Limbaugh sold us down the river with that one. Alex Jones, same thing. He's a gatekeeper. All these people are gatekeepers. That's why it says that the Satan will allow you to tell an ocean of truth as long as you can float a lie on the top. As long as you let him float that little lie on the top. So Rush Limbaugh is given millions of dollars. So is Alex Jones. So are the rest of them. They'll tell you all kinds of things we already know. We don't need Alex Jones or Rush Limbaugh to tell us half of what they say. We already know it. But they're being paid millions so that the sheep who are in the cult syndrome of personalities, so that when they need that, like Rush Limbaugh did with NAFTA and GATT, they're there to tell you. Just like now, USMCA is good for America. Now, how's it good for America? Ask somebody that tells you that, you know, oh, Trump, oh, he's signed another good deal. Okay, how's it good for us? You want to explain it to me? Inflation is higher than it's ever been. The job market continues to shrink, even though he says this is the greatest economy. That's only if you're looking at the stock market, which is 100% rigged. 100% rigged. That's the only indicator. So Trump's buddies that are highly invested in the stock market, can we say Zionists? And they know when things are going to be done, so they know when to go short or to go long on their stocks. And yeah, they're making boatloads of money. Oh, absolutely. So in Trump's pea brain, he's saying that to you because you don't have enough sense to say, well, Donald, other than the stock market, what the hell are you talking about? It's like all the military guys are for Trump. Really? Really? Is it because the Pentagon gets even more money to play with? Is it because we're going over and using our military to bash the heads in on more people to get regime change and get them to go along with our foreign policy? What's changed for the better? As Marine Corps General Smedley Butler said, you know, war is a racket. He wasn't kidding, you know. General Patton had figured it out. Many other military guys, like Captain Ramsay of England, in his book, The Hidden War, okay, very short book, easy read, it's quite eye-opening. He figured it out. We're doing everything for the Zionist masters so that they can make money. That's what we're doing. Your sons and daughters are going off to war, not for the benefit of the United States, but for the benefit of the corporatocracy that's headquartered in these states. They don't give a damn about you, your wife, your children, your future. So when he says the economy's doing good, well, he's partially true. But here again, that's why you got to get to the meat of the matter and look at the total context. When somebody like that lying to you in front of a camera says the economy's good, you have to understand from his perspective, it's good. You're supposed to be smart enough to sit there and go, well, wait a minute. The empirical evidence that I'm looking at says something completely different. It's just like scripture. Are you going to listen to that whore behind the pulpit, or are you going to do a little research on your own? Are you going to rely on translators of the Masoretic text, which were Jews, or are you going to do a little research on your own? You know, Scripture has to fit with natural law. You do know that, I hope. So if you've got a Scripture that's telling you some completely ridiculous statement, if it goes against natural law, then it's a lie. That's like that woman told the older woman in the caucus that, you know, the Bible, you know, you because the woman said to her, the older woman said to her, you know, a man is not supposed to lay with a man. And the younger woman goes, well, you know, my pastor and I, we had a discussion, and, you know, that you can translate things differently, you know. We can have a different opinion about what that means. Really? So let's take it to the ultimate conclusion here. Let's say, okay, that's what it means. So how about everybody's got to do it? So every man has to go out there and sleep with men, and every woman needs to sleep with women. Well, within a generation, our problem's solved because we'll be gone. And really, when you get to be that stupid, you should be gone. This poor world and this poor existence shouldn't have creatures as dumb as that walking around. So within a generation or so, everybody would be dead, because if women are with women or men with men, you're not going to have children. We can have artificial insemination. Oh, that'll work really well. Yeah, just ask the ranchers and farmers that I've talked to that are artificially inseminating their cattle and how that's working out for them. Okay, you wonder why our meat and our food is not doing us well as far as nutrition and everything else, why we're sick. Just like the rancher in Michigan argued with me about the artificial insemination, and I said to him, I said, well, let me ask you something. What makes you think you can play God and do a better job? Well, you know, we're going to take the semen from a bull of, let's say, a Guernsey or one of the other breeds of cattle, and then we're going to mate it with an Angus over here, and that way we get lots of milk, and it's a good beef cow, because Angus are much more robust and a lot more meat on them, where Guernseys are more for the milk. They're not as stout. Well, why do you artificially inseminate them? Well, if that big old bull gets up on the back of that cow, he'll break the cow's back. Oh, how about that? So nature would stop the lunacy of what you're trying to do, so you figured out a way to get around Yahweh's protection of the heifer of the Guernsey cattle. See, man always thinks he can play God. So he argued a little bit more, and I said, well, let me tell you something there, buddy. That bull, if you take man out of the picture and the cattle were out in the wild where they belong, I said, that bull knows more than you and all your science with just his nose. Just his nose. He can tell more about that cow in the pasture than you can. He knows if she's in heat. He knows if she's sick or not. He knows if she's the right kind. All those things he's telling instantly with just his sense of smell. And you think you can tell better with your instruments and your degrees from the agricultural department. I got news for you. You're dumber than rocks. Dumber than rocks. So by the end of our discussion at the back of the assembly hall, he finally admitted, he said, well, you know, we do have a lot of issues with the artificially inseminated heifers when they start to calf. I said, really? I said, well, what are you talking about? He goes, well, we have to get in our jeeps and go out into the fields when the calf is getting ready to be born, and we have to park there and spend the night with the cow out in the pasture field. or at the barn, depending on if they got her tied up in the barn. And we have to stay there and assist her. Because if we don't, the calf will be stillborn. It'll die. Got it, Henry. I'll open it up here in just a minute. So the point of it is, folks, when do we return to our Father in humility and admit that we are terrible rulers, we're terrible governors, we're terrible ranchers, we're terrible at everything we do, because we're full of ourselves, and we've allowed universities and professors and the idea that higher education and science is a new religion. We have a new religion called science, and scientists are the new priests, and government's another form of religion, and government officials are the priests of that idol. And then we have sports and entertainment, and we somehow think that those morons are important people when in fact they're not. So we've made idols. We got all kinds of idols. We make fun of our ancient Israelite people and the idols that they kept, when in fact we're worse than they were. We're way worse than they were. That's why it's going to be interesting when Father comes here, and I can't wait to see some of these pious assholes come up to the Father and go, "Well, I called you Lord, and in your name I cast out demons, and I did all these things." I can't wait to hear those words. "Depart from me, for I never knew you. Get away from me. You disgust me." I can't wait. To these little weak cowards out here that want to, instead of telling their families and congregations the truth, "Well, we don't actually know for sure that's what it said, and we just want everybody to get along." Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just get along. It reminds me of a conversation I had with a somewhat new agey kind of woman who's part of a group, and she was telling me how she hates the idea that we butcher animals to eat them. She thinks that that's a sin. I said, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah, I can't believe God would allow the shedding of blood like that." I said, "Oh, interesting." I said, "Well, you have a cat." "Well, yeah, I love my cat." I said, "So you keep your cat in your house, penned up for your entertainment." I said, "How's that fit in with Yahweh's loving nature?" I said, "In my house, there are no pets. I don't keep pets. I don't believe anybody should keep pets. Because the animals have a right to an existence, too. That's my philosophy. That's me personally." I said, "But you, on the other hand, you don't believe in all this other stuff because you say it goes against nature, but you're going against nature by keeping your cat in your house and not allowing it to go and be part of nature to experience what the animal kingdom should have, whether it's dogs, cats, birds, whatever. You keep them caged." I said, "And I've heard you talk about the fact that you had your cat fixed, spayed." "Well, I had to do that." I said, "Oh, okay." So the reason I'm bringing this up is that is so typical of our people. We have these pet little notions because of our sensitivities and our emotionalism, and we'll say that that's the way God is, and then turn around and make excuses when we violate the very things we're just talking about. It's a form of hypocrisy. Like I said, I can't wait till he gets back. I'm really sick of what I'm seeing going on. All this garbage. Garbage after garbage. And it just gets worse every single day. Henry, you're on the air, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Dan, I hope you're doing well.
As well as can be expected.
Yeah. I had a little run-in the other day. I don't know about you, but when I'm out and about, I go for walks, and on occasion I run into people, even in this cold northeastern weather. Occasionally you find people outside, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I like to put feelers out. I like to get a little sense of where people's heads are at. So when I was walking the other day, I ran into this guy with a Trump 2020 hat on, and I just couldn't resist. I said to myself before I opened my mouth, I said to myself, "Now this guy looks like a classic Trump tard. I gotta say a couple of things. I'm gonna be polite. I'm gonna start out polite, put the feeler out, little gauge, see where his head's at, see if he's semi-awake or just totally buried in the sand." And wasn't surprised once I started to engage this guy. So I was polite and I said, "So hey, I see the hat. I gotta tell you, 2016, I was right there with you. He made a lot of great promises, but fortunately he hasn't come through, has he?" Oh, this guy immediately on the defensive, just completely on the defensive. And I'm like, "Okay, make your case." So the first thing he said, he had some little truck. I forget what kind of business he has. I don't know if it's carpet cleaning or something. This was at his house. And so he goes, "Oh, the economy's great. My business is doing fantastic." And I said, "Oh, that's, I'm glad your business is doing great, but I just correct me if I'm wrong now. So your assessment of the economy is based on the fact that your personal little business here, this little carpet cleaning business of yours, is doing good. So therefore, you're making the declaration that the United States economy is doing great based on that." Great. He really didn't have much to say about that. So I said, "Well, or maybe perhaps you base it on what they tell you on Fox News when they're claiming that the economy's so great, and of course you should know that that's all based on Wall Street, not based on Main Street." He says, "Oh, I don't really watch Fox News." Later on in the conversation, we were talking about something else, and I got him to admit that he watches Fox News like a religion. So he gets all of his information from Fox News. The reason I found that out is because as I further engaged this guy, no matter what the topic we began to go back and forth about, everything that he said back to me was something that it was like a talking point that you heard on Fox News. Like, for instance, I brought up the assassination of the Iranian general Soleimani, and he had that classic Fox News talking point that he's murdered so many of our military personnel. And I said, "Oh, but isn't that what generals do when they're engaged in conflict? I mean, don't people die in wars and conflicts? I mean," and then he just continued with the Fox talking points. He started to get angry with me, so I said to myself, "I'm going to have to back off soon here. I don't want to get into a physical confrontation. I got too much shit going on. I can't afford to get into a fist fight here, not at my age anyway, especially about this kind of nonsense." But at one point, I just said, "Let's just wrap this up. I just want to make one final point with you. We can talk about all these other issues, but you know what the bottom line is?" I said, "How about the fact that this guy ran for the president of the United States, and he cares more about that little shit state in the Middle East called Israel than he does his own country? What do you got to say about that?" That's when he said something to the effect, "Oh, you're a liberal. I can see that. You must watch CNN." And I said, "Buddy, you couldn't be further from the truth." And I just walked away. This, unfortunately, we have a lot of people in the so-called right that are so stupid. I don't know, man. I don't know. Sometimes I'm more embarrassed about them than I am some of these liberals. They've got different 180 degree viewpoints on things, but one's as stupid as the other, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we should learn that, you know, we're being played each time. Look what they did. Yeah. They gave us the absolute abysmal Clinton years. And so Georgie Bush comes along and claims to be a Bible-believing Christian, and everybody went nuts. They didn't look into his background. They didn't check out the fact that he's been to school to learn the Talmud, and he's been pictures of him with his little yarmulke on carrying his Talmud to get schooled by the rabbis. That didn't seem to matter to him. Just like Colin Powell, when he was in the news all the time, nobody seemed to care that he could speak perfect Yiddish. You know, it's just amazing to me. Our people operate completely on sound bites and information, like you said. They'll turn on some idiotic program like Fox News, which is owned by the same cabal, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Rupert Murdoch is a Jew, and, you know, he's part of the same crowd. These people get together for drinks after the theater is over and laugh their asses off on how easy it is to deceive the American people, because they have become so shallow. They don't question anything.
It's that false paradigm, and that's how the Jews cover it. They've got their it's really, when you look at the right versus I don't go for any of these false paradigms. I mean I've broken away from that stupidity for quite a while now, but that's how they've got it covered. They know the general public, the 90% or so, maybe more, probably more, fall for that either Democrat-Republican paradigm or the left-right paradigm, and they've got both sides covered at all times. But all the candidates you're going to see from the left are commies. All the candidates from the right, although, of course, this time it'll be Trump going for it again, but in 2016, they were all neocon Zionists. Even Trump. We thought Trump wasn't. We were deceived. Oh, how we were deceived. But that's how they got it covered, because no matter which way you go, you think you're making a choice. You think you make, not we, not us, but the general public thinks they've actually got a choice, and they get staunch in their beliefs, and they get emotional, and the Jews sit back and laugh at us. It's just pathetic.
Yeah, really we don't seem to learn. It's like this coronavirus, which is another fear porn tactic. I mean, we just got done with them trying to tell us that measles, simple measles, was a dangerous thing, and we needed to run out and vaccinate ourselves for it.
Yep.
That just shows you the level of complete retardedness of the average American. They didn't even understand that measles is a childhood illness. It doesn't kill you.
Hey,
people actually thinking that these priests in this cult called science and medicine today, which is a religion, these lab coat wearing prima donnas can protect you from all harm. You'll live out your whole life in perfect harmony, and we have a drug or a serum for every little thing. Oh, you've got a runny nose, or you've got an itch. The measles. Oh my God, that's going to be a whole week that you'll miss your indoctrination on Stalinism at the school. So we got some. I mean, that's just how freaking stupid our people are. Measles.
Yeah, the fear-mongering is at an all-time high now. It's constant. Even our buddies over there down in Florida at True News are real. I mean, they are. They're dedicating 90 minutes a day, practically 3 or 4 days a week, to this virus, so-called virus in China, and really, really playing it up. You know, speaking of that, again, I don't watch them. Certainly don't watch them often anymore, but I tune in every once in a while when I'm bored. until I get sick of the show. It was 3 or 4 days ago. I think they was focusing on the virus, the China situation, and one of the three guys there, his name's Edward Zoll. He's the dark-skinned fella. I think he's a mix of Indian and English or something. I'm not sure. He's a decent guy. I don't really dislike him too much, except when he really shows his ignorance whenever they talk about anything historical in nature that goes, anything that goes back more than 20 years. That these guys, between the three of them, don't know anything, including Mr. Wiles. But he said, this guy Zoll, excuse me, he slipped this in, and I did not miss it. I went back and replayed the episode. I knew about where in the program he said this, and I wanted to make sure I didn't misconstrue what he said. You're not going to believe what he said. They were talking about, you know, putting people in quarantine and everything, and oh, they're going to have to start burning bodies and all this shit. And he slipped in the middle of that broadcast. It was 3 or 4 days ago. He was trying to use an analogy, and he brought up the Dresden firebombing from World War II, and he said that Dresden was firebombed to prevent the spread of a virus.
Oh, my God.
I am not kidding you. Is that one of the funniest things you ever heard?
Oh, my God. Whoa. Does it ever end?
It never ends. It never ends.
Jesus criminy.
Yes. I was so sickened by it. I just wanted to punch him right there. God almighty.
Oh, my God. Yep. Our ancestors are turning in their graves.
Yes.
When they're hearing stuff like that, especially the poor women and children and the elderly that were literally burned alive in Dresden, Germany.
In the true Holocaust.
The true Holocaust, not this fake bullshit one that the Jews cooked up. And the same thing with the Holodomor, the starving to death of over 10 million Ukrainians by the Bolshevik Jews of Russia. That's a real Holocaust.
You say rolling in their grave. Can you imagine how appalled anybody from that generation would be? Of course, most of them have died and deceased by now, but if there anybody that is that old, maybe 100 years old now, that would hear something like that, that knows the truth about that, how appalling that would be. And you know, it only takes a few generations of because they've really stepped up the brainwashing, I think, since the 50s and 60s, which is when we started going to school. And it 3 or 4 generations, and you've got people now who have no clue and no context whatsoever for even what I consider recent history. I don't consider World War II ancient history by no stretch. That is recent history. Ancient history to me is thousands.
Henry, in the 1980s, I was working at a nuclear plant in Ohio, and I was talking with a 20-something-year-old woman who didn't know anything about the Vietnam War.
In the 80s.
In the 80s. Okay, the Vietnam War ended in 1975 while I was in the Air Force. So I know that for a fact, okay? I was there. Yep. I was part of it.
Yep.
All right. This girl was 22, 23 years old. This was in the mid-80s, so right around 1984, 85. So less than 10 years after the war ended, she didn't have a clue
where Vietnam was, or anything
about the Vietnam War. But she graduated from high school. She had a diploma.
And that was one war where it was constant. You know, even that was in mainstream media news. That was one of the only wars where the liberals actually got a chance to speak out about it. It was nowadays, of course. Both sides of the aisle, all for the wars, both sides are neocons now. Back then, there was at least the illusion that there was a, you know, or they let people protest and they showed it. So I don't know how that young woman could possibly have been that stupid.
Well, here again, it goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the program. This is why the founding fathers were adamant about who was allowed to take part in the governing of the nation.
Absolutely.
Okay? Females are not allowed, period.
Yeah.
Okay? Women at the Iowa caucus that did not know that homosexuality is wrong, and the older one that didn't even know that Pete Buttigieg is a queer, they would not be part of it, okay?
Yeah.
That's why the founding fathers were much smarter than our people are today. They were much, much smarter.
Yeah. When you were talking about, go ahead.
So, you know, here's what kills me. The fixing of our problems is actually quite easy. Our founding fathers and a study of history will tell you everything we need to know. There's no rocket science to this whole problem. It's easily identifiable. It's also easily fixable.
Oh, yeah.
But you've got to get the root of the tree cut down to get out of your way.
Always.
All right? That's the problem our people are having right now. We're looking to try to solve this problem while we're massaging or cutting at the branches all over this tree where the root is still healthy, which is the money system going into the pockets of these kikes. All right? That's the root of your tree. Oh, that's just
tree,
it. That's it.
Yep.
Now, we can cut the root of this tree, but it's going to take some teamwork, and our people have a problem with that. That's the problem of the white race, and the Jew knows that that's our greatest weakness,
is really?
We got so many people who are stiff-necked and want to be the captains instead of the Indians. They want to be in charge. They want to do everything their way, and they don't want to ever take orders from anybody. So they all want to be generals, but they don't want to be the foot soldier on the battlefield. That's the problem with the white race.
I would say, without question, what you just said is the weakest link with our race, and I think I will admit that the other races are above us when it comes to that particular aspect of our character trait.
That's right. They'll get behind a leader, even if he's not the best of the best.
Exactly.
They will get behind their leader because he's going to somehow improve their lot in life. That's all they care about. Our people in ancient past chose their leader, their king, because he may not be perfect, but they trusted the fact that his leadership would enrich and maintain the rights and integrity of the people. That's why he was, what was the first title? You know, everybody is conditioned to think of dictatorship. They're completely stupid when it comes to this stuff. Okay, a monarch is not a dictator.
Of course not.
So, but here's, you study the history books. What were the monarch's first title? Was it all-powerful ruler or demagogue? No. You know what his title was? Defender of the faith.
There you go.
That was his first duty.
So it's not in our DNA, so to speak, because when you go back through history, especially back in, you know, even hundreds of years ago, you know, we had monarchs. What's happened in the last 100 years or so to
all you got to do is read the protocols of the elders of Zion.
I was answering my own question before I finished the question. I don't know why I even did that. I know the answer to that question.
Right.
It's because they've infiltrated our Western countries and indoctrinated our youth, and it only takes a few generations before we stop thinking the way we naturally used to think, and now we're thinking the way of the Jew.
That's right. They've Judaized us. They've made proselytes of our people.
And
you see, we have been conditioned to turn against what used to keep us strong and safe, which is the righteous, beneficial monarchy, the righteous king, like a King Arthur or a King David, okay?
Yeah.
We don't even get it anymore. We don't even understand that if we don't get back to what made us safe and strong as a people, we're going to die. We're going to fail. We're not getting anywhere. This whole thing that we're going to educate everybody and bring them up to a certain level and get a consensus, that's never going to happen. No. And the Jew knows that.
No. And you said it. You nailed it on the head when you referred to the protocols, because whatever different people think about the protocols, I know some people think it's a forgery. There's no question. It's, to me, that's not a forgery. Because
let me ask you a question. Let's say it was a forgery. Okay, what does forgery mean?
If forgery is just copying, somebody.
Okay, well, I'm making a point here. If it's a forgery, it means there's an original.
There was an original, and if you just look at how history unfolded since that document was written, it's how anybody can dispute that document called the Protocols of the Elders of Zion was not an absolute plan that was absolutely carried out to the T. You just cannot dispute history when you line it up with the protocols. It's like
they even discuss in there about using sports to implement the segregation, or not the segregation, but the miscegenation of the race.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and so they introduced it. So that's exactly how they did it.
They introduced it by getting black superstar, when I say superstar, in only in the sense that they can run fast and jump high. And most sports today don't require anything but athleticism anyway.
Yeah.
So they're pretty good at that. And they get them involved in sports, and they got a few, and they integrated them slowly. And then by the time the 70s rolled around, they were fully integrated into sports. That's when you started seeing all the star black football players and basketball players marrying white, beautiful white women. And then it was way more acceptable now. And what do you see today? Race mixing 101.
Well, of course, it's gradualism. But here again, our people don't read the Bible. They don't think about anything. The Christ told us, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. So that verse, one verse, was the clue that you needed to be careful of. Because, first of all, who's the Pharisees? That's the Jew. Who are the greatest hypocrites walking the face of this earth? Jews. Yeah. Biggest hypocrites that ever exist. What is leavening? What does the leavening process mean? It's gradualism. Just like leaven. When you put leaven in a lump of dough, I used to watch my mother make homemade bread, and I used to love watching her put the yeast into the dough and work it into the dough, and then come back a couple hours later, and that dough rose up from the bottom of that big old pan, and it was overflowing over the top of it. So a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In other words, all you got to do is put a little bit of leavening into our institutions, the way we think, the little lies, the little deceptions like Rush Limbaugh and Alex Jones and all the rest of the gatekeepers. They infuse that little bit of leaven, and pretty soon it goes through and it leavens through the whole lump until our people believe lies.
Absolutely.
Including the churchgoers.
Yeah, gradualism is the key to their success. They are, I don't want to say this in a complimentary way, but you must hand it to them in that sense, in that to achieve their evil desires, they realize the only way they can be successful is through gradualism, and the protocols clearly exhibit that. And history clearly reveals that their patience is astounding. They'll plan things 50-100 years in advance, just like the world wars were planned well in advance.
That's a normal hive mentality within a race. Our people used to do that. We used to work for things that would take generations to do.
Well, but the difference is we would plan in advance for positive things. They plan in advance for destructive things.
Oh, well, you wait a minute. You have to remember the point of view. From their point of view, it's constructive because they want to be rulers of the world.
Okay. Well, okay. Even in their own words, don't they say they're the ultimate destroyer? Their belief is to destroy, to have what they want. They have to destroy what exists and then rebuild it in their image, so to speak.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. They're the world's destroyers and revolutionaries. That's right. By their own admission.
And it's in their DNA, I believe.
But that works to their good because they have to destroy the Christian white world in order for their satanic Jewish world to come into fruition.
And make no mistake, it is the Christian white world that they have to destroy. Because
they've said that. They're openly calling for white men to be castrated. That's actually being said by Jewish academics right now.
Yep.
Professors and whatnot are actually making public statements that white men should be destroyed or castrated. Okay? No outcry, nobody calling it a hate crime, nobody putting it, and they're actually saying that. And that just shows you the level of stupidity of our people. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
we got Gary's on the call with us. Gary, welcome.
How are you this evening?
Obviously frustrated, but go ahead.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Real good. Well, that's natural for the atmosphere that we're in. You know, I can remember there was a couple of us that are my age. I'm 78, so you go back a few years. And we can remember, you know, stores were closed on. They closed at noon Saturday. They were closed Sunday, you know, anywhere. It was all closed. If you didn't get your business done on Saturday morning, you're in trouble. And a whole bunch of things that relate to that, you know, and everybody that I know went to church. You know, the only difference was what church did you go to, you know. They name them by Presbyterian, Baptist, Catholics, and what have you. And those were what they call today, the denominations. You know, what denomination did you go to? Now it's all kinds of crazy stuff that they put into our vocabulary. You know, a denomination is either a Christian church or a Buddhist or a Baptist, not a Baptist, but a Jew. You know, so they've changed our English language and what we do. And they would send people in. In other words, if you said you went to church, you know, it was acceptable. But there was always a few guys that would come in and talk junk. You know, so they had people out there that would do that. And today, as you were saying earlier, that don't happen today. Today, it's, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. Used to be when I was a kid, we're going to church. That's what they'd be talking about on Sunday.
And well, at the very least, we honored the concept of the day of Sabbath, which is a day of rest. That's all that means. People get that all screwed up today, too. It's a day of rest. So whether you went to church or not, the idea that one day out of seven, you're going to take time to be with your family, to do things around the house, to sleep in. I used to work in the Air Force and in the power industry where they would work us 7 days a week. So I got to see what happens to men in the workforce when they don't get a day in a week of rest. We had a lot of people call in sick. We had a lot of fights. The divorce rate within our shops were somewhere around 90% to 95%, because, again, you know, people have to have a day of rest. That's why he said, "I made the Sabbath for you." It wasn't for me.
But it's called family time. You know, on the seventh day, like us, we'd go on a picnic. You know, we'd go someplace.
Yeah. Well, those days are long gone, Gary.
That's true. As a matter of fact, you don't have too many parks anymore. And
wow.
You take what's going on today and what's going on then, and you can see why today, you know, we're just not doing. I mean, going to a football game or a baseball game and popping a Coors beer, that's where it's at. Well, they didn't do that back in the day, you know, just didn't do that. And why? Because there was a sense of spirituality, you know, in the air. It's like Pastor Dan would say, at least we did something, you know, that wasn't had traditional to work.
Yeah.
So
we got a. Go ahead.
As I'm listening to you guys, another thing they introduced into society, they used Martin Luther King to introduce the blacks into society.
Well,
they were already free. You know, it wasn't that they were locked up or anything. They were already free. Why did they have to come making big marches? What was that all about?
You know what it was all about. It's all part of the Zionist plan. All you got to do is read the protocols. There's nothing strange about what's been done if you read the protocols. It's all in there. It's all part of the takedown of white Christian America. I mean, it's so obvious. It's, you know, it's right in front of your face. Now, people, we got a caller here anyway. Let me see if from Midland, Texas.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
I just want to input. I agree with the last caller. I think that they're just inducing a lot of fear and anxiety. They scare our women. They scare our children, and our children and our women want to devour us. They're scared to death. These blacks and these Mexicans and stuff move right next to our houses and just worry us to death. And the women, you know, they're involved in feminism. They're just attacking us guys, but they're scared to death just like us. They're just resorting to fear and anxiety. And remember the days that the old man said that, he said that things were more calm. They were more peaceful. People were not to work. We used to live in a more less fearful society. This media is scaring us to death. And as men are trying to bring reason to the weak people of this society.
That's why I keep talking about the fact that us men, and 20 years ago when I started this radio broadcast, it was dedicated to the men. Because it's the men that have to get this thing sorted out and figured out what we're going to do. It would be nice if the ladies would support that, but unfortunately the Jew got to them like he did our great ancestor Eve and has convinced them that we men are the problem. Well, we men have to ignore that, and we just have to get our act together, and we got to come together with a consensus among ourselves on what has to be done to fix this problem. And then the right women will understand, and the right women will be part of whatever goes forward, and the rest of them can get left out. There's nothing I can do about that. So we're here to save our people, and you know, we men have to come to consensus. That's all. The men have to figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to work together, and come up with a plan.
You know. May I make a comment, Dan?
Sure.
You know, I was just thinking as listening to this discussion. I don't think this is going. I don't know if this is a possible reality in our lifetime before Yahweh Yeshua makes his return to the stage. I don't know. I don't think it's in the cards for this to happen. What I'm going to suggest here. But I believe that this distortion of the Bible and the fact that the only true message that actually agrees with science, it agrees with history, when I say history, of course, I mean true history. There's so many versions of history. And when I say science, I'm talking about actual science, not scientific theory. Because you think about the Bible, even just the book of Genesis, how frigged up the 99% of the world, not never mind Christian world, has it so stupefied that, well, first you could start with Adam and Eve and the silly story that most people believe about that. Then you can go to the global flood. Now think about how absolutely stupid and ridiculous it is for a rational thinking person who knows anything about true science and science based on evidence, that to think that the entire world could be covered in water. I mean, it's just so obvious and clear when you do a little bit of research that flood was a localized flood to destroy a certain group of people, our people. And if this information could ever, but this information is not going to get out to the masses or even to a broader audience. And the reason why is because I believe personally that is maybe the most important thing that they, in triple parentheses, keep from us. Because if our people knew our ancestry and our heritage and who the Bible is about and written for, then, boy, this thing would change in a heartbeat. But
well, they have to want the truth, and they have to do a little work on their own. It's not like it's hidden. This information is available.
Well, yeah, and you know, you just said it. If you want it hard enough, it is there. But you do have to be a real truth seeker to get this. And when I started my truth journey, it was definitely within the first year or two when I came upon this, and it's only because I just kept digging. So I guess the bottom line is, if truth is important enough to you, this message is going to come to you. And when you find out the truth about the Bible and who it's for, and who we are as the white Caucasian race, it changes everything. If people could possibly wake up to that, I just don't think it can. Or we will, because that would be the biggest thing that they don't want us to know.
Well, again,
ramifications would be.
It starts with a belief in a faith in the Creator. Okay, the beginning of wisdom, and you're talking about wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the reference and acknowledgement of Yahweh the Father, the Creator.
Yes.
Okay. If people don't have that, they're lost. And it's by design. They're not meant to know. If they can't figure out, let's face it, even in academia, I've read two books now by PhDs that talk about the fact that even in academia today, they are admitting that Darwin was full of crap, that this whole evolution thing is a scam. And all the evidence points to a creator, especially today. All the evidence, just like the the cosmologist recently said, there was like 8 prominent doctors who came out after they retired, of course, so that they didn't lose their tenure, and said, "We're sorry, folks, but all the evidence, all the data points to the fact that this Earth that we're sitting on is the center of what we call the universe, because there is no infinite space on the other side of the firmament." That's all bullshit.
Of course.
Okay? The universe, as we know it, is right here under the dome. That's it. That's it.
Amen.
And everything circles around terra firma, because that's the way Yahweh made it. What's on the other side is none of our business.
Right.
Okay? That's why nobody has been on the other side of the firmament. Nobody has been beyond where the dome comes into the Antarctic circle around the outside of the Earth. Nobody. Nobody has been there.
And nobody's been on the damn moon, let's face it.
No, the moon's a light in the firmament. Come on.
Exactly.
How are you going to land us? Well, first of all, man can't do that. Okay? I've been in the government. I've been in the military. I've been in the upper echelons of the high-tech stuff in the military. I'm going to tell you something. It takes guys that know what the hell they're doing just to keep that stuff running. And even then, a lot of times it breaks down. So you're going to tell me that a bunch of chameleons, a bunch of automatons, a bunch of cretins that work for the U.S. government are going to build a rocket that can take a human being and ship it up hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles, and he's going to float around up there, and nothing's going to go wrong, and they're going to bring him all the way back here and do it time after time after time. Are you kidding me?
No.
These are the same clowns. These are the same clowns who cannot even do the green screen studio images of the so-called space station without leaving all kinds of hints that it's a staged event. Okay? They can't even do that. It's like these false flags, like Sandy Hook. I mean, come on.
Really?
They can't even even pull that stuff off without all you have to do is question what they're telling you and just do a modicum of research and you see the whole premise just disappears. Case in point, I'm supposed to be worried about measles? Hey folks, I got news for you. My whole family had measles when I was a child. We're still here. All the children that I went to school with had measles, and they're still here. Their families all had measles, and they're still here. Their grandparents all had measles, and they're still here. What the hell is wrong with people?
Yeah, you know, two things that come. I don't want to. If anybody else has anything to say, just I don't want to. You know, if anybody else has anything to say, please. I want, because the last time I was on the show, I was kind of rude, and I wanted to apologize for that formally. I had taken a stiff drink, and I had taken pain medication. I had cracked my elbow a couple of days earlier, so I was not myself, Dan, that day.
You were under the influence.
And I was rude. I was stepping all over you. And I don't want to do that tonight, and so I want to make sure there's two other guys here, and sometimes I know it's difficult, especially when you get three or four people on a call. I can recall in the past I wanted to say things, but especially when there's more than two, it can be very difficult to squeeze in sometimes. So I want to back off right now in case Gary or the other guy from Texas just called in wants to chime in. I did have something.
What I try to do is when there's a good breaking point so you can finish your thought, then I'll go ahead and ask each of them if they had anything they want to add.
Let me just finish my thought here. I think this goes along with what you were just saying. I think two things that hinder the white race, not just the white race, but the world in general right now, is we have short memories. I mean, of course, you got to be up there in age a little bit to remember this, because you and I are old enough to remember the fake moon landings. And isn't it silly? They went to the moon, and now, of course, they can't go to the moon. How many years? Let's see, 1968. Now they can't. Now they can't because we don't know how to get through the Van Allen belt. Allen belt was there supposedly then too. I think it was the dome, of course. But they call it the Van Allen belt. They step all over themselves and make themselves look like fools. And the second part is everything is such a short news cycle. It's just a disaster today that 20 or 30 years ago would be a story for weeks or months. Typically runs 2 or 3 days now. And then you move on to the next disaster, and they just inundate you with so much, and it's a constant state of fear. The new disaster. Oh, I was just getting used to the one we were talking about, and now I got this other thing to be afraid of. And that's how they get these people. And these people walk around shitting their pants in fear, and it's stupid. I'm out. I pass it on to anybody else now.
Okay, Texas. Any comment?
None at all.
Oh, okay. Okay, excellent. How about you, Gary?
Well, I just wanted to say one thing while you were all you guys were talking. As I was thinking back to Martin Luther King and his marching, and people, it was all over the TV and all over the radio, so you know they were pushing it. But most people didn't know that. They thought that they really were taking advantage of these people. And in a roundabout way, they were taking advantage of us.
Oh, he's right.
And then, the next thing you know, they're in our colleges and they're playing sports because that's about what they can basically do. And then they're doing all this stuff on TV to where they're taking our women. You know, you see all them cheerleaders out there. Those are for those.
Yeah, but Gary, where's our guys at? All right. Let me put it this way. Many years ago, back in the 1970s, a fellow named David Nguyen, Vietnamese, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's a common name. It's like Smith in English, and it's very common in Vietnamese. Anyway, his family came here in 75. He and I were working together in New Jersey in the 1990s. And we got into a discussion about communism and what would happen in Vietnam, and he's a pretty smart guy, and we got talking. And during the conversation, he asked me a question. He said, "What's wrong with you white guys?" I said, "David, what are you talking about?" He goes, "You let anybody date your women. What's wrong with you?" He goes, "Oh, in Vietnam, if we caught people that weren't Vietnamese trying to date our women," he goes, "they'd find him in an alleyway or behind a hut somewhere with his throat cut."
Yep.
He goes, "But you guys, you don't say anything." I said, "Dave, I hate to admit this, but you're right." I said, "I'm not sure what happened to the white men, but they haven't showed up for the party yet. There's a war going on to destroy our race, and they haven't even showed up for the fight.
Yeah,
they're too worried about getting called names. They're too worried about their boats and their cars. They're too worried about their drugs and their booze. They're too worried about their sports and entertainment." Okay, they don't even think about the fact that our race is dying. It doesn't even enter their pea brains.
Yeah.
Instead, they're worried about what's the Jew doing? What's the black doing? Wait a minute. These people are not us. Last time I checked, the book says Adam was put here with dominion. We were given dominion, and we're giving up our rightful place. We are giving it up. It's not being taken from us.
You know,
we
Dan,
have voluntarily given it up because we're afraid. All this propaganda and all this bullshit that they throw at us is making us afraid because we don't want to work together. Oh, God forbid that there's a monarchy. God forbid that we pick a leader and we all pick up our weapons and say, "All right, let's go to war. Let's go find the people causing our problems and let's go to war." God forbid that we should do something like that because, well, they'll have something in the paper and denouncing us or calling us names or some other stupid-ass reason why we don't ever get back together as a people and as men. I mean, really, think about it. What the hell could they do to us if our men were to get together and decide a course of action on our own? If we decide that we're not going to support Israel, we're not going to support any of these invaders coming into our land. We're not going to work for companies that sell to those people or bring in these illegal aliens to the workforce. If we would stick to our guns and fight this thing, they couldn't stop us.
Oh, God.
But we don't. We don't.
If we stuck together like the other races stuck together, forget about it, man. We kick ass.
That's what I'm saying. The problem is with our people. The problem is not what's being done to us. The problem is why don't we want to fix it?
Yeah,
why
do
we sit around and argue and bitch and moan about the tentacles off that tree of evil and not one of us is talking about the root and taking the root out?
I personally think it all changed after World War II. Like, I think, you know, and even into the 50s seemed, I think, okay, I was born in the 50s, and I grew up in the 60s, but you could see the changes were taking place, you know, the immigration policy that took place in the mid-60s, But post-World War II, I think, was the turning point for the white race. That's my opinion. I think that really, really, I mean, they destroyed the great nation of Germany. And Germany was doing all the right stuff. Germany was like a model for the world to follow. What they accomplished in the 30s, and it was destroyed, and all record of what they accomplished was negated by the propaganda lies, and been pushed on us and brainwashed into our skulls ad nauseum for decades on end.
Well, there's one thing I was told today. There was a Mexican guy standing there with a shopping cart and had a sign in it. He'll help out the what they call it, the native people, the Indians. And so as I'm talking to him, you know, he's telling me, well, you white people. And after the third time, I said, wait a minute. I says, don't say you white people, because Jews are white. And they're not us.
Actually, they're not.
I'm talking about Caucasians. We are different than a lot of other white people you see out there. Chinese have white skin, you know. You don't incorporate them. And when you see these Jews, they have dark hair. They even have dark skin, some of them. I says, look at your TV. What do you see on there? You see the blonde with the Jew. And I'm standing there, people are listening to me, you know. Is about this. Watch your TV and see who that nice-looking blonde is going with. She ain't going with a Caucasian, that's for sure. So I said, I told the guy, I said, don't be saying you guys, you whites, because I'm a Caucasian. I says, don't forget that. Notice my eyes. They're not the same color as yours. Notice my hair. It's gray now, but used to be blonde. I said, so don't start it. So,
well, here again, think about this. The word Babel is the Hebrew word that we get the word Babel and Babylon from, Mystery Babylon. And Babel means confusion caused by admixture. So if we just did word studies, we would learn a lot. So the whole Mystery Babylon thing is the fact that we've mixed things that don't belong together, and it's causing confusion. We've allowed them to reinvent language. They've taken words and changed the meanings. They've changed history. They've changed all kinds of things, and it's causing great confusion, and a lot of that change has come from the pulpits, because that has been completely destroyed.
Well,
okay, these prostitutes, these whores that are called preachers today, wouldn't know the truth of Scripture if it hit them upside the head. Okay,
yeah.
And partly we're to blame, because we bought into the whole notion, again, worshiping what? Education and diplomas, as if that makes them smarter than we are.
Yeah.
Okay? Instead of being self-taught, we're sitting on our ass saying, well, he went to seminary. And graduated with a degree, therefore I can now eat more popcorn and drink more beer, and I don't have to look up as much stuff in the Bible, because I'll sit in the pew and let this prostitute tell me what it's in there.
Right. Yeah. And God said, let us make man in our image. And what God and what Yahweh really said was, let us make Adam in our image.
Right. The Hebrews had four different terms. They're all translated man in the English Bible. Four different Hebrew words, because one of them was talking about the Caucasian Adam. One of them was talking about just any male, whether it's human or animal. Another one was talking about a non-Israelite or non-Adamic man, okay? So, again, they have multiple words, but in your English Bible, it's always man, just like the word love. The Greek language has three different forms of the word love. They all mean something different, but your Bible only has one.
It's actually four, Dan, I think.
Well, it doesn't matter. The point is the same. The average person, if you were to tell them that, they'd look at you like you were from Mars.
Oh, sure.
And then they would say something even dumber than that, though. Instead of just admitting their ignorance and say, well, I guess I'll have to look. They would go, what difference does it make?
Right.
I love that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
What difference does it make?
That's pretty much what the blonde said to that woman who voted for Buttigieg, whatever.
Butt boy. Said, just call him butt boy. That's what
butt
everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Buttigieg. Yeah. Butt boy.
In the Bible,
it says that there's three different kinds of men. There's man, and then there's Canaanites, and then there's beast of the field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if you say beast of the field to most people, oh, what do you mean? You're calling them a beast, and, you know, they get all over you. Well, I'll tell you what I mean. It's what the Bible means, not me. What is beast of the field? Well, that's an animal that runs around. Well, it also, then you point over here to another location. It talks about beasts, and it talks about man. I mean, not man, but animals. What's this? If this is an animal, how come it's not called animal? Because it's different. It's called beast of the field, which means some kind of a two-legged talking thing that runs around. That's your blacks. Your blacks are beasts of the field. Your browns are Canaanites. And your white skin, of course, are, are what we all think they are.
And the Mongoloids, of course, as well.
There's an old adage that we're going to live long enough to see it come to the pass, and that is you can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. Yeah. And we're going to live to see that. We're going to live to see it because our people have become complete ignoramuses, and the truth is right there staring them in the face. With modern technology, there's no reason average people can't figure this out. There's just no reason. They're just too lazy. They don't want the truth. They want their ears tickled, exactly as the disciples and the writers of the Gospels told us. And the prophets even talked about it. Our people have a tendency to want their ears tickled, which is a biblical way of saying they want to be told lies. Anything that makes them feel good. Just don't make me feel bad. Make me feel good. And that's what our people are. They're weak. They're weak in the mind, they're weak in the head, and they're weak in the heart.
Yeah. But once again, though, I would say that that is a relatively new phenomenon with our race within the last 100 years or so.
Yeah, modern technology has done it.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. And that just makes it more convenient for them to be lazy-minded and just rely on other people who have a ulterior motive in most cases to educate them with false information.
The Jews, of course, they have an ulterior motive, and that is to destroy us. That's why you say man is like the beast of the field. The beast of the field, they consider that just a regular animal. They don't study it. I mean, if it's got animal in there, has animal in there, and along with the beast of the field, something wrong with this picture.
I agree with that. I agree with what Gary's saying. Dan, when I first heard that interpretation of beast of the field, I struggled with it a little bit, but I'm totally in agreement with Gary. Do you feel the same way with that?
Well, if you look at the Hebrew word, it's talking about creatures, okay? And typically it can refer to an animal or a beast, but it actually means a created thing or a creature, but it's not. They got words for an actual upright biped, Adamite, etc., male, but in referring to these other people, they were the wood gatherers and the carriers of water jugs, all right? They were creatures. Yahweh created them, but they worked in the fields because they were not capable of handling the meatier matters. And if you look at all through history, if you take the blinders off, if you don't let the Bolsheviks get to you and you actually look at reality, you'll find that that's true. Look down through history. Look at anybody that's spent any time in sub-Sahara Africa. Ask the missionaries that spent time over there, like that woman that came back from Africa. She spent 25 years over there. When she got back to the United States, this was clear back, I think, in the late 1800s. She had a press conference, and she made the statement, I spent a quarter century with the people in Africa, and they will never be a self-governing people. Never. Okay? I got a friend that was military intelligence. He used to carry over millions of dollars in charity to Africa in his Christian missionary work. And he'll tell you, if you get into an honest discussion, that if we left that village after we built homes, a hospital, a school, and we got them training and everything else, if when we left, and if you came back 10 years later, it was as if we were never there.
Yep.
Okay? So, again, that doesn't mean that these people don't have a right to life and everything else, but we do have a right to deal with reality. And our people were meant to be in charge. Even James David Manning, who's a PhD, he's a 50-some-year-old man, and he's got a huge ministry in Harlem, New York. James David Manning said, if we don't get the white people to rise up and take back control, this country will die. And he's 100% right. This country's dying because the wrong people are in charge. And let me make this perfectly clear. And today, it's still the wrong people in charge.
Oh, no doubt.
They're white, but they're Jews.
They're not of us.
Yep.
They're not of us.
They're imposters.
They're Trojan horses. They're Trojan horses.
They're evil.
Bloomberg, Dan, Pastor, that Bloomberg is worth $60 million. He's not one of us.
No, of course not.
He's Jewish. You know,
none of these characters, none of these characters being paraded in front of you would pass the test the Founding Fathers had.
You know,
no.
I didn't mention it earlier, but when I first came on today, I was talking about the conversation I had with the Trump guy. I don't know if I mentioned this, but our exchange was going along. But you know what triggered him? And really, and all of a sudden, you could see the anger come upon his face, is when I mentioned that Trump was more for Israel than the United States. He made a statement back to me. I'm going to paraphrase, but it was something to the effect that he stands for Israel, and Israel's the only democracy out there in the Middle East, and we all need to. I wanted to, you know, in my youth, if I was in my 30s, or even early to mid-40s, I don't think I probably could have resisted. I don't know, Dan, I don't know if you know about my earth. I've never told you about my youth, but I got myself into several jams. I've been in more than my share of fights. I think in my hot-headed youth, I probably would have popped this guy. And I'm not proud of that, but he was just pissing me off when he started defending them. I couldn't do anything about it but walk away at this point.
Who's the bigger fool? The fool or the one that argues with a fool?
Right.
Okay.
I was a hot-headed idiot in my youth, and I would have done something stupid. Well, but I walked away.
That's right.
That's exactly what I did. Now that I'm wiser, I guess part of it is because if I got in a fight today, I could end up in the hospital very, very easily. But that's probably a part of it too. But more so to the point, it's the wisdom that we get as we age. And you realize when you're talking to somebody that stupid, you have to walk away. I engage these people just on the hope that once in a great while I might meet somebody. Maybe, I don't know, it's been years, but I'm still hoping I'm going to have a little short conversation with somebody just to gauge where they're at and I'm hoping to find somebody of like minds, like-mindedness, but it is so hard in this day and age. Oh, my.
Okay, let me ask you, why is gold valuable?
Because it retains its value no matter
no.
what.
Why is gold valuable? If gold was like stones laying around everywhere, would it have value?
No.
It's got value because it's hard to find, it's hard to get out of the earth,
right?
And it's scarce, okay?
Exactly.
Why are we referred to as precious gems? Because like precious gems, they're not laying around everywhere, and they're valuable, all right? Why are you valuable? Because you're one of those grains of salt. And the problem is that you're casting your pearls of wisdom in front of swine, and the scripture tells us not to do that because the swine don't get it. They're dumb. Yep. They like being dumb. They're lazy. And all they can do is regurgitate whatever the idiotic image of the beast gave them the day before on the so-called news channels or Fox or whatever. Okay? They have no brain power. Here's the thing. We got to get the remnant ready for whatever Father's given us that's coming down the pike here real soon. We're at that point. The remnant has to realize that our job is just like Noah, is to protect those closest to us that have their eyes open to get ready to go through this storm, because a storm is coming.
Yeah.
At the end of that storm, all of the stuff that, like the guy you were talking about, he won't be around anymore.
Right.
Okay? These mental midgets and these soft-headed little cucks and little snowflakes out here that care more about animals than they do babies and care more about being acceptable to the Jew media instead of dealing with the truth, they're not going to be around much longer.
Yep.
I got Tommy. Tommy, I just wanted to see if you had anything you wanted to add.
Yeah, man. Just wanted to chime in. I was just listening to you guys talk. I'm not sure what the topic is about, but it's probably a mixture.
But, oh yeah, it's all over.
But I'm seeing I'm just seeing the highlights from the State of the Union of just how retarded the left are. I mean, these people are so stupid. I mean, I'm not a fan of Trump very much anymore, but I gotta say this guy got them to look retarded. That's just funny.
Well,
by the same token, Tommy, I wonder how many lies Trump told last night.
Oh, the economy. I mean, the economy is it's already in recession. I mean, yeah. Granted, there's probably more jobs out there than there are people, but most of those jobs are paper hat jobs.
Yeah, part time.
So yeah, it's the same rhetoric as Obama said, is the same rhetoric that Bush said. Really, they're always going to buy into that because nobody wants to believe that we're in a recession.
They're all lazy.
Yeah, when inflation starts to go hyper, that's where people are gonna be very, very angry. When a price of bread costs you over $10, I mean a loaf of bread. You know, just for the cheap stuff. You know, the stuff that costs you a dollar, when that jumps up to $10, you know, and I think that could happen probably within the next year or so. That's what they have been saying. But, you know, the funny part is, socialism will never be here, or something like that. I didn't watch the thing, but I just saw the highlights. And I'm like, excuse me, you keep importing people from socialist countries.
Yeah, but... Hey, you know what? You know what struck me about that when Trump, he obviously he uses that line to empower his base about socialism will never be here. But really, what are our choices? Socialism or Zionism?
They're both the same, if you ask me.
Really?
You got to differentiate which socialism are you talking about? Marxism or National Socialism?
Of course. Well, you know, I meant Marxism. Yeah. Obviously, because we'll never see National Socialism here.
Well, we should.
Of course, we should.
Well, we will. We will see a separation, and that's when. That's when we're going to institute the proprietarianism.
Well, yeah.
Which, in my opinion, it covers all the bases. It really does. It takes the good stuff out of National Socialism. And it really implements everything in there, that pretty much what they wanted to do back then. It's that and times better. So
I don't know if I agree with that. We've got National Socialism is a proven commodity. Just because Germany was defeated in World War II is not a negative critique of National Socialism by any stretch.
No, they have to show what their system was really about, because the problem is when people hear those two words, they tie that to the Nazis.
I know, you said that.
Yeah, you said that
last time.
Yeah, the problem with that is, if you can educate people on just the logistics of that system, regardless of their politics, I think you could start getting some heads rolling to say, okay, let's forget that individual. Let's look at what they wanted to do. And the problem is there's too many people who are way too emotional, and even some people who think they're logical, they're still placing that emotion in front of something where you just look at logistics and say, okay, they were doing this, this, and this. And then the media was completely lying about certain aspects of things, 99% of it.
Let me know when I can jump in.
Yeah. That's my take on it. I'm not really scholared on that aspect, but you go ahead, man.
Well, it's just that, you know, it's just that the lies and brainwashing of World War II and the Holocaust is, I would say, more right now today than ever before, exponentially speaking, people are waking up to that lie. Now, I don't think now is the time to run away from that. Now, I think now is the time to maybe embrace it. I know it's right at this very moment. It might not be popular enough, obviously, but the momentum and the swing that I see taking place with the truth about World War II and the Holocaust is becoming epic. And I think if you just be a little more patient, you might see that.
Well, I get back to this. Until we embrace some plan that says that a core group of guys have this figured out and they're going to go forward, and then a mass of armed white guys say, "Yeah, we're behind you," nothing's going to work.
Right.
Okay. First of all, you're never going to get ground pounders, utility workers, plumbers. I'm not degrading all that, but I'm just saying you're not going to get grassroots Americans up to the level of understanding all the intricacies of our problems. They know something's wrong, but to get to the level you guys are talking about, it would take decades. We don't have decades.
Right.
We have to understand that all we need is a core group of our leaders, whoever they are, to agree on a course of action, and a group of guys willing to fight for that course of action, and that's it. That's what we need to do to fix our problems.
Would you say Pastor, a group or a one super strong individual like AH?
Well, a strong individual could be the figurehead or the central figure that's kind of like a warrior King David type. Yeah, of course, but he's going to have a body of men around him. He's not going to be just a solitary figure.
Right.
But,
you know, I'd say this about, again, as Tom, he readily confesses he's not as well-versed in National Socialism as he might want to be. I, by the same token, admit that I'm not as well-versed in proprietarianism as you guys are. The one thing I would say from my vantage point with proprietarianism is intellectual and wise as this Stuart Doolittle is, he by no stretch is the kind of individual who could lead in what I what I can see. He doesn't have the charisma or the personality.
Well,
in my opinion, he's very smart.
If you take a look at, he's not the guy who's leading things. He's just the guy that came up with the plan.
Okay.
So, like, if you think about it, really, we are the leaders. We you can't just rely on one guy or just a handful of people. The best part about, I believe this is that every man a sheriff, the militia. He's bringing that back. The problem is we've been waiting for one guy to save us, and lo and behold, look at the mess we're in. Because we're waiting for that one guy, we vote every 4 years.
It has happened in history, though.
But it's always fallen. It's always fallen because one person could be corrupted.
Well,
if you have too many people, they're all just like, nope, we're all kings. We're going to follow the King of Kings. But we're not going to have centralized government like the problem has eroded into before. That is the problem.
I think it goes back to Dan's endorsement of a monarch, a righteous monarch. And in my opinion, that's what AAH was. He was a righteous monarch. The people, 98% of the people voted for that guy?
Well, if you think about it, in National Socialist Germany, the power did go back to the people. That was the platform of the party.
Exactly.
I've got a copy. The party platform is still available. It's a very small pamphlet. It's very easy to read. It's basically biblical. If you look at the Old Testament law, they just put it in modern terms. But it's like proprietarianism. Proprietarianism matches up with Old Testament law very well, too. Well, so did National Socialism. It basically said, we're going to take the power away from the oligarchs, the bankers, and we're going to give it back to the people at the local level. And we're going to support families, and especially people with large families. All the families are going to get farmland. There's going to be very little taxation until they get on their feet. So everything was about supporting the common people. That's why National Socialism was popular. And proprietarianism would be popular because it does exactly the same thing. Returns power to the local level, and a righteous monarch does not mean a large central government. Quite the contrary. A righteous monarch, let's take Christ himself when he comes back. Does anybody actually think Christ is going to establish a large central government?
No.
No. He's going to do exactly what the proprietarians folks are talking about. He's going to say, I'm the arbiter of any disputes. I'm the court of final arbiter right here. I'm it. But as long as you guys are able to take care of your own problems at the neighborhood level and the county level, I'm not going to get involved.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the whole concept of a righteous monarch is he's only there to step in and help resolve problems that cannot be resolved, just like Moses. Under Moses, how did he do it? Captains of 10, captains of 50, captains of 100. Why? Because it kept everything local. The only time Moses and the elders got involved is if it was a dispute that could not come to a mutual agreement between the arguing parties at the local level. And that's rare. That's rare.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up something real quick, Pastor. The email you sent out to us earlier from a guy who had a dream.
Yeah.
That was. I read that and I'm thinking to myself, like, he had it at a very specific time of the night too. It's interesting how he's got a vision and how the Democrats are acting. They're gonna make their move real soon.
Yeah.
So we're gonna be forced into something soon. So I think people are in my opinion misunderstood, thinking this will never happen or there's not gonna be time. In other words, something is gonna happen. So no one is gonna want to go live under cartels or something like that. So the right wing already is looking for something better. They're already looking for something better, and proprietarianism is out there. So eventually, it's going to gain so much steam so fast that your head's going to spin in like 6 months. It'll be like all over the place. Then you're going to see the media trying to bash us. That's what's going to happen. And then that's when you know it's gone mainstream. And what's going to happen is Democrats are going to flat out say, they're going to flat out say anyone who doesn't go with the premier's plans, you will be put into re-education camps, just like Bernie's little henchmen are caught undercover saying. People are not going to tolerate that. So something's going to come soon, in my opinion. And the good thing about what this gentleman's dream is, I've had visions of that kind of stuff too, and I just have that gut feeling things are going to get really nasty soon. So it's going to force people into changing.
Yeah.
So the good news is that's coming anyways.
Yep.
So in regardless, fact, so I'm looking at that as a very good step in the direction of I don't want bad things to happen, but unfortunately, we live on planet Earth. Bad things happen all the time. So we could either use that to our advantage when it does happen, or we could just sit back like idiots in history and let these psychopaths disarm us, which that's never happened to me, or to a lot of people I know. And a lot of people aren't going to give up their stuff, so that's settled. Or, you know, a lot of people are just going to be so scared to go wait for someone to go save them. Well, at that point, they're going to have to realize they have to save themselves. That's when we put in, that's when we show them, listen, we have the solution over here. We don't have to destroy America. We can salvage America, but we have to change the entire system. That's when it's going to happen.
All right.
When the chaos gets really bad.
Yep. Angel sent in First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 3 talks about that during a time of supposed peace and safety, sudden destruction will come. You listen to the State of the Union and all these pontificating assholes in Washington, D.C., and they constantly are telling us everything is hunky-dory, then sudden destruction is going to come. And it's going to come soon. I agree with you.
Absolutely. I think before the end of the year. I think when they realize he's going to end up winning the re-election, that's when they're going to pull the plug.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Pastor, Nazi, National Socialist Party, that's one race of people. National, nation, national.
Right.
So it's going to be one people that's going to do that. And there's another thing I wanted to bring up when we talked about the beast of the field. In the Bible, it says the beast of the field, the things were so bad and they were all praying. The beast of the field put sackcloth on his head and threw sand on his head.
Yeah.
You know, I never seen no horses, no dog, no none of them do that. Now, I forget where it's at in the Bible, but it's in the Bible.
It's in the Old Testament where they put on sackcloth and ashes, and also they put their hands either on an altar or on the ark. And it killed him. But that was also some Israelites. But there's also a verse in there where it talks about the beasts did something with their hands. So obviously it's not about people. But the point I'm trying to make is they were people that were just considered part of his creation. That word, it's translated beast. It just means part of his creation. The other races are part of his creation. All right? So they're not Adam man, they're not Adamic man, but they are mankind. They're similar. They have arms, they have legs, they have a head, they can talk.
Physically similar, but not...
They're physically similar, they're not spiritual, or as Michael says, they got the right hardware, they just don't have the software.
And they were
Yahweh breathed the software into the nostrils of Adam. It says the spirit, but if you think about it, what's the spirit? He did the programming for Adamic people by breathing life into the nostrils of Adam. Okay? So Adam has the ability to reason, to think logically, and to create. The greatest attribute of Yahweh that's within the Adamic people is to create, to think outside the box and create. These other races don't have that. They're imitators.
Yeah,
everybody talks about the Oriental people as if they're high IQ, okay? Standardized tests might say that, but what did they ever create? They didn't create a damn thing. Everything they have, they got from the Aryans that lived amongst their empires and their lands while we were there.
Right.
Okay? China couldn't even build an intercontinental ballistic missile that could reach the United States until the Clintons opened the patent office to the Chinese.
Right.
Okay? So if the Chinese are smarter than we are, why couldn't they get a rocket to travel that distance? So don't give me that bullshit that they're smarter than we are. No, we're not. There's only one group of people that were given that, and that's Adam. We are the people.
The influence that the white race has had on the other races is that we civilized them and then moved on and moved west and north into Europe.
He's going to have to take that up with God when he faces him.
The heck is
that? He's obviously a non-believer.
Yeah.
Now, somebody's got their mic open there, and I'll challenge anybody that wants to say that.
What was that?
I think that's Texas. If you want to have a debate about what I'm saying, you might want to mute your mic. Okay? And I'll challenge anybody to anything I've said. I've done enough studying. There's hardly anybody out there that's done any more studying than I've done.
I'd love to see that. Yeah,
and,
Dan,
you know, and that's what always cracks me up with these people that use the term racist. They don't even know what the word means.
Right.
The average person doesn't even know what that word means. They only know what the media tells them that it means. They don't even look in a Webster's 1828 dictionary, or they don't look in the other dictionaries that go back into the 70s and all that. Racist meant somebody that promotes their own kind. Isn't it funny how blacks promote their own kind, but they're not racist? Jews promote their own kind, but nobody calls them racist. Only white people are called racist. Isn't that strange?
There's a guy standing at the store where you go to the entrance to the store, and he was promoting Mexicans. Give me money for the Mexicans.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Anybody can promote their own kind, and we call it good, but if a white person promotes white values amongst the white race, somehow we're evil for doing that. I tell people you're full of crap. Now, you know what it is? Here's what soft-headed people, and I've met them in all the different churches that I used to go to. They've got this image of what they think a pious believer is, and these preachers play on that. They come in there, and everybody thinks that they wouldn't say a curse word, or they wouldn't do this, and then you find out half of them are pedophiles, half of them are having affairs on their wife and everything else. But they've got this image that you have to be this person that does nothing wrong. You don't even fart. You don't go to the bathroom. You don't have any wicked thoughts. This is what people create in their minds. They don't look at what the Bible describes as the men of God. Look at people like David. All right, look at David. He was called a man after Yahweh's own heart. Okay? I don't think David was like the most perfect guy walking the earth, according to these people and their standards. That's why I said a long time ago that I would prefer just everybody just say Commander Dan, because as soon as you say Pastor Dan, these people have this mental image that they concocted in their heads, has nothing to do with Scripture, has nothing to do with reality. And they get fixated on the narrative that these outsiders have given us to sit there and divide us.
Well, you know, Pastor, you know what you just said is correct. King David, he was God's choice. He was what God wanted in the whole shot, and he even bragged about him. And then what's he doing? He's over here going to bed with somebody else's wife, and then to keep people from finding out who that somebody is, he has them sent to the front lines and murdered. So, no, and God still forgave him, and he still let him have that woman. And of course, the first baby died, but the second one lived. You know, become Solomon. So,
the point I'm trying to get is they've got us sitting around arguing and with these mental constructs, and we miss the whole picture. We miss it. This is why I'm trying to get to the men. The men understand what the hell I'm talking about. That's why I really don't care if women understand or not. Okay?
What I'm trying to say, Pastor, is Solomon, you know, and his dad were forgiven by Jesus. He forgave him. mean, well, these guys, look at the atrocities they did, and yet they were forgiven. So now you're saying that if we do that, we can't be forgiven? Give me a break. Sure, we can.
They've created a new god called Jesus. They create this god. They don't even understand. Isaiah 33:22 makes it clear. We only have one Savior. Even in Exodus 20 in the Ten Commandments, it says there's only one God. There's only one Elohim. Yes. All right? So Christ was Yahweh in a flesh body. It's the same person. It's the same entity. There's no difference.
That's right.
So this whole notion that this hippie-looking Jesus with long hair, and he just loves everybody, and he would never say a curse word, or he would never, he didn't exist. That particular individual didn't exist. That's a creation of the modern church and all these airheads out here that think that loving everybody and tolerating everything is what Jesus would do. Really? You don't read the scriptures. Luke 19:27. Bring those that would not rule that I rule over them before me and slay them. That doesn't sound like a peacenik hippie to me.
What?
Yeah. What do they call that? I already forgot what the Judeos call that. The triune God. What is the word they use for that?
Trinity.
There you go. Yeah. Right.
Well, I know all that because I was raised in a Catholic church, so I know that part.
The point of it is that our people are caught up in a bunch of nonsense, this hoopla, this churchianity, this feel-good garbage, and the enemy is using it against us. And that's, again, this is why the men have to decide what the hell we're going to do to fix the problem, and everybody else can just take a back seat. You can either help or get the hell out of the way. That's
it. Pastor, I don't know if you guys recall. I think I told this story once before. I was having some words with a fellow in a meeting, and I was the leader of the meeting, and next to me was the secretary. And he came up to have the secretary do a motion, and I said, "What's the motion for?" So then he called me a few names, and then he called me a racist, and I didn't say anything. And then he says, you're nothing but a racist. He said it again and didn't say anything. Then this girl, nice-looking blue-eyed blonde, comes in the door and says, "Who's a racist?" And then this guy pointed at me and says, "He is." And she says, "Are you a racist?" I says, "Well, I believe in a different racist." And she says, "I have two black children. What are you going to say about them?" I said, "I'm not going to say anything about them." I says, "What does the scripture say?" You know, I left it at that, and everybody's running around. They're all mad at me. He called me the racist, you know, and they asked me, I said, "Sure," but they're mad at me because I'm a racist. I'm not a racist. I don't hate the black people. I just don't think that they belong putting their hands on our women or our daughters. I don't think that they're supposed to be doing that. And it used to be back in the day, they talk about being hung. That's what they got hung for. You don't touch the white man's woman, or you get hung. We need to start that again. That'll stop them.
Well, I love to tell the people that say that is, let me know when you're going to get your bedroll and your tent, and you're going to go down in center Philadelphia and spend a weekend with a tent on the sidewalks in Philadelphia and see how that works out for you. All right?
Yeah, or how many of you are going to give your daughter to them?
Yeah, let me know, because all you people that seem to think that, because I went to school in Center Philadelphia. I went to college there, so I spent a year walking the neighborhoods, and that was 40 some years ago, and things have not gotten any better.
I can remember when I was a kid. You know, that's quite a while ago, and I was in the sixth grade. No, I was in the first grade. And the black kids would come and they would beat us up. Like this one took my shoes and tied the strings together and threw them up on the wires. I mean, the black kids were doing that to us all the time. It's not a new thing. And my dad said, "That's it. We're moving out of this neighborhood." He was in the Navy. We were a Navy projects or houses. And he says, "We're moving out here." He says, "I can't have this." You know, he thought he could tolerate it, but he said, no, this is not right. You know, my brother and I were...
There's a reason the Bible talks about the fact that all the races were put in different geological locations in the beginning, and there was a reason for that. And we could go on for another hour about what I learned in health classes about the diseases and the idiosyncrasies of the various races. Anybody with a medical background, if you told them all the races are exactly the same, they'd laugh you out of the room. All right. Anybody that's got any medical background knows that that's the stupidest thing anybody could ever say. They're obviously different. The physiology is different, and all kinds of other differences. Okay, it's just a fact. I've got books in the library here written by PhDs talking about the fact it's idiotic to sit there and say all races are exactly the same. That's bullshit. It's just utter 100% bullshit. And if people don't want to address this issue, then we're going to have these problems till this nation dies. Okay? Diversity is not a strength. Tolerance is not a strength. All through history, it proves it. If somebody would just take the time to read a book instead of walking around with their head in the clouds, listening to these preachers and all these other people that come out of these seminaries with the same line of bullshit. It's just bullshit. Period. Good old cowhands out on the ranch can tell better about what's reality than these so-called educated idiots with degrees. Because they just go in there and get their heads pumped full of a bunch of garbage, and they come out as if they're educated when they're really just fools. Professing themselves wise, they became as fools. And we're going to have to wrap this up, guys, because I got to go to bed here pretty soon.
Yep.
Final comments. Anybody, final comments?
Big difference. Yep.
Go ahead, Gary. We'll start with Gary. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, it's just like the Nazis. Look, they're a small nation, yet they're very powerful. The whole world was trying to kill the Nazis, but they were all one people, one nation. In other words, National Socialist Party. National means nation. So they contradict that statement. The United States was a lot bigger, but we had a mixed multitude. England was a lot bigger, but they had a mixed multitude. The Nazis, they were one nation, and look what they did. So I have my argument.
Yep. Well, thanks for calling in, Gary. Yahweh bless, bud.
Yahweh bless.
Okay, Henry, anything?
I was just looking up a scripture verse. I'll close with this. This is a message for the remnant. Revelation 22, chapter 22, verse 11 and 12. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done.
Yeah, amen to that. Yep. That's your closer?
That's it.
Okay, buddy. Yahweh bless, bud. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
Midland, did you have anything?
I just like to say, it'll be the days of Gideon. Very few people can keep from getting fired or having non-whites being crammed in their face and move right next to them, bust next to them, and all that other jazz. So I know if a lot of us in the past would get together, they'll figure out a way to fire us or flood the neighborhood just non-whites and run us out anyway. So it's a Gideon. It's a Gideon elite, and you're one of the Gideon elites, and you're all doing a good job.
Well,
thanks, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, and you're right. You make a good point there. The fact that, and this goes back to what Tommy was talking about, I believe the Father's not going to give us much of more of an opportunity to sit around and just complain about stuff. Things are going to happen between now and the end of the year that's going to force us into that scenario. Just the way it sounds to me, anyway. Anything else, Midland?
Nothing else.
All right. Yahweh bless. Thanks for calling in. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. And last show, we did have a troll. Very interesting. I got an email calling me every name in the book, and it was obviously some Israeli Defense Force gooks over there sitting at a table getting paid shekels to do nothing but cause trouble. So we must have hit a nerve with the last program. And, you know, calling me names, it's like water off a duck's back. I don't really care. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I really don't give a crap what somebody wants to try to call me. And that's the beauty when you get to be this old and have read as many books as I've read and have done as many interviews with scholars and researchers and nurses and doctors and military guys and even a few congressmen about the facts of life. It's amazing how many people are still completely ignorant about the truth of what this world is made up of and the laws of nature. That's really what we're talking about here, the laws of nature. And how many people just don't get it. I guess I was blessed growing up on a farm and witnessing what happens in wildlife and with the farm animals. And, you know, if you took a horse, a guy that had horses that he raced and was making millions of dollars with him, and you told him that every horse with four legs is the same as any other horse, and you're going to bring your barnyard stag in here to mate with his $5 million thoroughbred, he'd take a shotgun out and put it in your face and tell you get your barnyard stag and get him the hell out of his barnyard, okay? Because he's got millions of dollars on the line. He doesn't want to hear your social justice warrior bullcrap. He knows that thoroughbreds are the ones that win the races. They're the ones that win the medals. They're the ones that win the races. They're the healthiest. They have the fewest nervous disorders, the fewest other disorders. It's just a fact of life. That's why in the world of organics, the hybrid fruits and vegetables have far less nutrition than the organic and the non-hybrid, the non-mixed. A hybrid tomato has only one-seventh of the nutrients that's in a non-hybrid organic tomato. Okay? That's why you got to eat so much and people are gaining weight because they're eating 7 to 10 times what they should have to eat to get the nutrition. We could go on for this. This is just completely insane. The number of people that are so ignorant, I can understand why he said when he comes back, the lukewarm, that's what they are, the lukewarm, the ones that just, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. Oh, you're going to hurt my feelings. Oh, the lukewarm, get away from me. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth because you don't have the sense that I gave to the animal kingdom. And you're a person. You have a brain. I created you, and you don't even have the sense that I gave to the animals in the pasture field. Get away from me. You disgust me. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our like-minded kinfolk around this earth. We know this is a perilous time. Speaking the truth is a revolutionary act in a time when the truth is considered hate. But we're going to stand on your promises that you would watch out for your sons and daughters, those that will take a stand and preach the truth, even when it's not liked. And we were told that at the end of this age, it would be this crazy. And that we would be mocked and ridiculed and persecuted because we're telling the truth because they want to believe a lie. Shame on them. I used to feel sorry for them. I don't feel sorry for them anymore, Father. I ask for your coming to be soon. I ask for your rod of judgment, your rod of iron to be with you and let you pass judgment on these people. Then it won't be up to us. Then they can't point fingers at us. Let them try to point fingers at you when you sit upon that throne and you look at them and you ask them why they followed the liars, why they believed the lies when right in front of us is empirical evidence that it's a lie. And yet we want to choose to believe the lie. Shame on us. We ask, Father, that you'd guide us in all that we say and do. Give us good, clean, clear discernment to see through the lies of the day. Give us a stiff backbone that will stand tall and preach the truth even when it's not the popular thing. We ask that you would forgive those who have a stumbling here and there and lift them back up and put them upon their feet. And we ask mostly that you would come soon, Father, because it's obvious mankind doesn't deserve any of the good things of this earth. We keep adulterating the food, the water, the air, all in the name of making money, all in the name of feel-good theology, and we don't deserve it. So we ask that you would come back and sit as King of Kings upon the throne, and then you can dish out the righteous judgments of Luke 19, verse 27, and Psalm 149. We pray for that to be very, very soon. We ask all this in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Hallelujah.